If you look at pictures of the American Indian movement in the 1970s, of things like the occupation of Alcatraz, with a moment in our political reawakening and sense of pride. And, you know, also I think I wanted to subvert one of the most significant symbols of this land and put it on my head upside down as a way of signifying, you know, my own cultural pride and whose land this really is.
Julian Brave Noisecat is a writer, a journalist, an Oscar-nominated filmmaker. His debut memoir is titled We Survive the Night. It's being released tomorrow, Tuesday, on October 14th. He's also co-director of the documentary Sugarcane. That does it for our show, but we're going to do part two, and we're going to put it online at democracynow.org. I'll be speaking in Santa Fe, New Mexico on October 17th at the Lenzic Theater Friday night after the showing of the film Steal This Story, Please, along with the Oscar-nominated filmmaker Tia Lesson. So check our website at democracynow.org. Julian will be speaking at Grünlight Bookstore in Brooklyn. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
KBOO radio station is located in Portland, Oregon, in Multnomah County. We honor the indigenous people whose traditional and ancestral homelands we stand on, the Multnomah, Kathlamet, Clackamas, Tumwater, Watlala bands of the Chinook, the Tualatin, Kalapuya, and many other indigenous nations of the Willamette and Columbia River regions. It is important to acknowledge the ancestors of this land and to recognize that we are here because of the sacrifices forced upon them. In remembering these communities, we honor their legacy, their lives, and their descendants with the forming of relationship to each other and the living world. We establish and support harmony within ourselves and set the stage for praxis.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and from 988 Oregon, a public service helping those who are stressed, worried, or just feeling down when they call or text 988. Support is confidential, and call takers are real people in Oregon who speak with understanding and respect. More info at 988oregon.org.
From the Two Buffalo Studios in Bradenton, Florida, welcome to Indigenous in the News. I'm your host, Larry Kay from the Ho-Chunk Nation, along with Gary Wilcox from the Powhatan Nation. On today's show, we're honored to speak with Robert Rosa, president of the American Indian Movement of Central Florida. As protectors of culture and sacred places, he brings critical insight into the destruction of Native burial sites in Florida and the ongoing battle to uphold federal protections like the NAGPRA. This is about more than just land. It's about honoring those who came before us. Indigenous in the News starts now. I'm Larry Kay, and joining us from our Miami studios is Gary Wilcox. How you doing today, Gary?
Hey, Larry, I'm doing just great. Sunny and shiny out here and doing fine.
All right.
Today, we're honored to speak with Robert Rosa of Ames, Central Florida. He brings critical insight to the destruction of Native burial sites in Florida. Welcome to the show, Robert.
Thank you, brothers. Thank you for having me on here. It's an honor.
Yes. Hello, Robert. Great to have you on. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, so let's get started. Robert, can you start by telling us about the mission and the recent activities of Ames Central Florida, especially in regards to protecting sacred sites and burial grounds?
Yes, absolutely. Ames been here in Florida since the early 80s. I came in a bit after, and Sheridan's still here, and Bobby Billy was the one who used to go around and with Sheridan and Mark and a few other brothers and protect burials. So I'm kind of picking that up, and Betty Osceola is kind of picking it up as well, that being her uncle. So, you know, we've been successful on some of them, but with the recent influx of developers, we've been having a really hard time. We got exactly 7 that we are worried about now and trying to protect. And it's kind of like from Miami all the way up to the West Coast and Anclote. So, you know, we're getting spread thin.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned Betty. She's an elder with Miccosukee. Can you tell us who she is? Let our listening audience know.
Yes, Betty. Well, she's more than just an elder to the Miccosukee. We think of her that way as well.
Mm-hmm.
And when protecting the burials, well, you know, first of all, AIM is a conglomeration of tribes of people from different nations, indigenous nations. So, you know, whatever land, whose ever land we're on, we have to respect their authority. So Betty is kind of our authority, our elder, our sister, our dear friend. And, you know, we'll always go to her. We'll also contact Tina Osceola of the Seminoles and let them know what's going on and give them a heads up. Sometimes, you know, the archaeologists, the grave robbers, they kind of send random emails, and sometimes they get missed through the tribes. And what we're here to do is pick that slack up and notify them so they could quickly respond to any actions going on in regards to burials.
Mm-hmm. Robert, from your perspective, what significance do these burial sites hold for our community today?
The burial sites, we're not like the Westerners where we have a gravestone or anything like that. Plus, you know, when we return back to the soil in whatever manner a nation does their burials, we become part of everything because we are part of everything. So we're natural beings. So in a burial, when that tree grows from, you know, Uncle Charlie, Uncle, you know, whomever, you know, that tree is our uncle. You know, the water that flowed through it is, you know, our auntie, you know, and this is how most indigenous people see it. And, you know, so when they go in there and say, oh, this is an ancient burial or something, it's not ancient to us. It's our family. Mm-hmm. And you're desecrating not only a sacred site, but a burial.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Robert, can you lay specifically a couple of sites that have been burial sites in Florida here that have been recently disturbed or desecrated by contractors or developers?
Oh, recently, yes. We have 77 Southeast 5th Street in Miami with George Perez, who's a billionaire. And he actually tried to pawn off without the Miccosukee or the Seminoles being able to look at a full list of what they had taken out of 77 Southeast. Which was over 1 million artifacts.
Wow.
They were trying to get rid of them to other colleges, other organizations, archaeological organizations, museums, and such. And 872, it kind of protects the burials. It was intended to protect the burials, but then they amended it in 1986, 87, where now the property owners, if it's not within the burial itself, meaning, you know, within a 5 feet radius of remains, anything there is, you know, considered the property owner. So, you know, most of the places, they've already been looted, well, not fully looted, or they've already been disturbed. So it's a conundrum because, you know, how are they to say what was a burial item? And what we're trying to do, working with Catherine Meir, is get the Miccosukee, get the Seminole, the full list, if, you know, it's disturbed. And have them say what is a what they call a patrimonial item, or a burial item, or significant sacred object. And of course, all of us, you know, we do believe, you know, everything that is there is sacred.
For listeners unfamiliar with NAGPRA, can you briefly explain what the law is supposed to do and who protects it?
NAGPRA is. It is a federal law in regards to burials,
mm-hmm.
That it has just been amended. So, you know, there's a lot of tribes that have been going to a lot of meetings lately in regards to the new amendment of that.
Sure.
So, but what it's supposed to do is protect any indigenous burial and from being desecrated. But what it actually does is only protects the burial and the patrimonial items.
Sure.
They call it patrimonial. Of course, most nations were matrilineal nations, you know, matrimonial. But that's an insult in itself. However, that's what they consider, you know, whatever was in around the remains and buried with the remains, then that is what the tribe is legally able to get. Now, with the new change, there used to be a theme where, you know, say they said the Seminoles came down here in some odd years, which is not true.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say that is an unrelated remains. You're not allowed it. So the new NAGPRA gives the Seminoles and any federally recognized tribe claim over any burials in their land. Say Oklahoma, whether it was a Lakota there or whomever, you know, was in that ancient burial, they actually, you know, can recover that. Talk to a Dakota Nation and say, hey, we got your remains. We want to give it back to you. So, you know, we found it here. It was in our state. You know, we protected it for you. That is what it's supposed to do.
Are there any specific challenges, loopholes in NAGPRA that developers and contractors are exploiting?
Well, in regards to the state laws, because there's NAGPRA and then there's state laws. Now, they have gone in there in, like I said, 1986, amended the burial law, 872.5. And that gives them the right to anything outside of a burial, burial patrimonial items.
Interesting. And for our listeners, NAGPRA stands for Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act.
Have there been any high profile or recent incidents where burial grounds were destroyed, unearthed despite known indigenous connections?
Oh, yes. George Perez in Miami. Jupiter, they're trying to do it. Charles Modica as well. We're still I'm not going to say in court, but at commission hearings fighting that. And you know, Ann Clote, they spoke with AIM as well as Betty Osceola and the Seminoles, and we came to an agreement. They had a burial a few burials and stuff that was all over the place at their Anco Park. But, you know, they've agreed to cap. They agreed to reinter everything into the land. So, you know, Micanopy as well, we stopped Dollar General. The mayor was awesome. You know, you have the Miami Circle. You know, Bobby Billy fought for that, you know, mm-hmm. and so much more. And that is part of the Brickell site, as well as 77 Southeast, that they're now destroying.
Right.
Interesting.
Has there been any, what's the latest on those?
There is another hearing coming up in regards to the plans for 77 Southeast, which is a parcel that's right next to Brickell, that he's building his three towers on. And then the main mound is under the Brickell unit, the Brickell lot. And, you know, I've already had it leaked to me that is the major mound. There's going to be, you know, it's going to be important burials. It's going to be important site, just as the Miami Circle. And they're planning on digging that up as well. Oh. And then one block or 10 minutes away from Brickell, they've already dug up 14 remains. And once again, that's George Perez. And the Seminoles have already have a plan to reinter it. We're still working on getting that site's actual location.
About 40 years ago, I had some problems in Minneapolis, and I got a phone call, and they go, Larry, we got some problems at the Mall of America, and what do we do? I called up Vernon Belcourt. He was one of the original founders of AIM, and the Opus Group was responsible. They discovered remains, and they were very they were responsive. They shut down the site, and we told them if they didn't, we were going to call the news and get them involved. But they helped out. They were they shut the site down, and they worked with us. So I mean, it was a blessing back then. That was in Minnesota, so I know every state's different. But what role have local and state governments played, either in helping protect sites or enabling their destruction?
Well, Miami is treacherous. They're historical people are quasi-judicial, meaning that they really hold no power. They can only suggest to the property owner what to do. Whereas the historic society in Jupiter was like, you know, they heard our comments. They listened to the Betty. They listened to Martha. And that's Martha Tommy, and they said, you know, we don't want it dug up. And sure enough, you know, they listened. But then he took it on an appeal, and that's what we're working on at the moment. But then you have Anclo and Micanopy, where, you know, the commissioners there listened. The mayor, which is most important, listened as well, and, you know, put a stop to those two.
Nice.
What steps should be taken when a burial site is discovered during construction? Who's responsible, and what is the proper process?
Well, the proper process is once you find remains, everything's supposed to cease, and it got to get reported to the medical examiner and the state archaeologist. Once the medical examiner determines it's older than 75 years, it then gets turned to the state archaeologist. And, you know, then the state archaeologist would then, you know, contact the tribes. But there are times where a local archaeologist is called in before the state archaeologist is called out, and they do a little more digging, and, you know, to determine whether it's just a tooth or or more, but it's getting disturbed. And that's where our issue is. It's like once the remains are found, it's determined, I don't care what it is, you know, there's a burial there. And there's a lot of you know, sites that they already knew, just as in Miami. And you know, they knew that Miami Circle was literally right across the street, and that was the ceremonial plaza. So, and they know the main mound consists of the street and 444 Brickell. Now, this is what they know, but they're allowed to go in there and develop anyways. So, it's, you know, and that's being allowed by the mayor. It's being allowed by the commissioners, by their historic societies.
Do you feel that state-level protections for burial sites in Florida are adequate, or is there a need for stronger enforcement or legislation?
Right now, there is a good, you know, bar that is the state archaeologist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they you know, are very aware. They talk to the tribes. They've actually talked to the Seminole and Miccosukee face to face. But as far as the law itself, yes, it needs to be strengthened. The property owners, you know, because the 872 law was intended, its intent was to stop the digging of the grave.
Mm-hmm.
And Bobby Billy was like, okay with, you know, you backfill and don't disturb the grave. And, you know, this is now it's becoming, you know, you know, that he's spending $1 million to dig that all up, but he's going to make more money getting these items to museums and such. So that is the problem, is that the property owner has too much rights to dig up a burial, disturb a burial, and take whatever is not in a burial.
Mm-hmm. Today, we're joined by Robert Rosa, president of the American Indian Movement Central Florida. He's here to expose the growing crisis of sacred Native burial sites being disturbed by developers across Florida. If you have any questions or would like to show your support or help, contact Robert through the American Indian Movement Central Florida on Facebook and join the group. Also available on LinkedIn, or email him at aimcfchapter@gmail.com.
Little is really known about the American Indian, or what links their human soul with the earth. The Indians believed that this land was created for them by the Great Spirit, and that it would be theirs forever. The New World. This is what the white man called our land, but it was not new at all. The red man, inhabitants of America for centuries.
Can you walk us through what community members or tribal members can do if they believe a burial site is at risk or being disturbed, or are already being disturbed?
Yes, you have to catch it ahead of time. You have to get to those commissioner meetings.
Okay.
Get out to the elected officials. And it's a lot of work. And if nobody's listening, then you got to make noise, and mm-hmm. and you just can't stop, because right. you know, our ancestors are this continent. This is our you know, whether it be environmental or, you know, anything. This is our ancestors living and breathing. It's they're still here.
Yes.
So you have to get out there and do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us, how do these struggles to protect sacred spaces tie into broader efforts to preserve Miccosukee and Seminole cultural heritage and land stewardship?
These lands are our ancestors. Miccosukee know this. Seminole knows this. This land is our blood. You know, this is who we are. And you know, the Miccosukee are out there, and I love working with the Miccosukee. They're out there in the clades. They're out there doing all sorts of humanitarian stuff as well. And you know, they're an awesome tribe, and you know, yeah. Seminoles are taking care of their people. But you know, we all need to work together and get things done. And you know, it'll take that bad stuff off of us. You know, knowing that our ancestors are safe, and it's about time that we have the equal rights of our burials.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right. So, and what do you hope to see change in Florida law or national policy over the next few years to better protect Native burial grounds?
Well, you know, it's more than just Native burial grounds. We need say into everything, because we've been here thousands of years. They've been here 500 years, and this country's gone to crap, you know?
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
Destruction. Uh-oh. Yes. What message would you like to send to the public, especially non-Native residents of Florida, about the importance of respecting and protecting these sacred sites?
Yes. It, you know, I know Indiana Jones makes it all look glamorous and everything like that, but you know, these are our ancestors that deserve the rest. They don't need to be pulled back from anywhere they are resting, and they need to respect. You know, it's like going to your uncle's house. You're not going to walk into your uncle's house, put your feet up, dirty feet up on his coffee table, sit your butt up on his eating table. So, you know, don't come here to our lands and do that. It's not cool.
Yes, no. Yes, yes.
Robert, can you tell our listeners what is the best way to get a hold of you if they want to have any questions or if they want to show support? Can you tell them what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Yeah, best way, you could contact me on Facebook, Robert Rosa. We also have a Facebook and a, we are on LinkedIn as well. Yes. And AIM Central Florida. Florida is only abbreviated AIMCENTRALFL@gmail.com. Or just contact Larry, and Larry will get a hold of us. And we've gone around. I helped Juan Mancias when he needed help. Of course, he needs help all the time being in Texas. But I've gone out there to help him with the burial problem that he had.
Interesting.
So it's not a, you know, we're a national organization, and if we can get there to help you, we'll go out there and do whatever you want and get it done.
Mm-hmm. Today our topic is Sacred Ground Under Siege, protecting Native burial sites in Florida. And our guest is Robert Rosa. He's the president of the American Indian Movement of Central Florida. Robert, thank you for your time today and giving us an update on what's happening with our burial sites in our state.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for having me. Yeah, we need help here. Any lawyers, any politicians, you know, we need to get this word out to protect burials. We currently have 7. So
thank you, brother.
That's enough.
Thank you for being here today, brother. Certainly appreciate you. Learned a lot about your organization and love what you're doing. Stay in the fight.
Yes.
Thank you.
Stay in touch with us, too.
Thank you, brothers. Bumatum.
Yes. Any new developments, keep us posted. We'll blast them for us. Thank you.
You got it, brother. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Indigenous in the News and supporting us and our entrepreneurs. Indigenous in the News has been produced by Larry Kay. Our engineer is Paul Salvatore. Our theme music is composed by Lenny Long. Today's show has been recorded at the Two Buffalo Studios in Bradenton, Florida. If you would like to support our program, you can stop by to donate on our homepage at indigenousinthenews.org. You can also find all of our past shows now on Spotify and iHeartRadio. Music today was from Tom B. and his band Exit, and that tune was Beginning. Until next time, from all of us here at Indigenous in the News, have yourself a great week and safe journeys. Indigenous in the News is a production of Indigenous in Music and Arts.
Hi, I'm Michael Van Cleek. I'm tapped into the vibe.